Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, helping homeowners trade out old windows for modern, energy-efficient windows with curb appeal. Estimates at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Next month marks 1 year since the devastating May 16th tornado. At St. Louis Public Radio, we'll be sharing a series of stories over the coming weeks. We'll look at how the recovery has unfolded, where it's fallen short, and how people's lives have changed in the aftermath. That includes those who've left and those who've stayed and are working to rebuild. We're starting that coverage today with a focus on people impacted by the tornado telling their stories in their own words. And that's the subject of this month's episode of Meet Me, STLPR's podcast about connecting across divides to find a way forward in a moment when division seems to dictate so much. Here's lead host Luis Antonio Perez.
On May 16th of 2025, an EF3 tornado tore through St. Louis. It first touched down west of Forest Park. The vortex then turned northeast and intensified. It cut a path across several St. Louis neighborhoods north of Del Mar. The storm started just after 2:30 in the afternoon, with winds peaking at 152 miles per hour. At one point, the twister grew to a mile wide. Generational homes had their roofs partially or entirely torn away. Some buildings collapsed. 5 people died that day. 38 were injured. And 5,000 homes were damaged or destroyed. In the city, tornado sirens did not sound because nobody pushed the button. Eleven months after the disaster, the Meet Me team hosted an open mic at the St. Louis Public Radio Community Room. We invited residents to share their stories and reflections about the May 16 tornado. Herdosha Bentham is a Northside resident and movement director for the Freedom Community Center, a restorative justice organization.
We work on the north side, deep in the north side, because we know that our people don't need to be offered cages. We need care.
Herdosha opened the evening with a few words, providing a context that the room already understood, but still needed to be said.
And I'm just letting spirit move because I don't have anything written. And I just said, God, use me and let me use my story. The trauma that happened to the north side on May 16th started way before May 16th. May 16th deepened a contradiction that exists. I'm from St. Louis, born and raised. We seen how they didn't show up for none of us. But I also want to lean into the memory that we stood up for us. It was people like myself and you, neighbors, even neighbors that didn't even live in the city from Creve Coeur and Baldwin came and tried to figure out how can we solve a human problem when our government couldn't figure it out. This is what I seen in my community, the beauty and the strength, that energy of we don't give up.
The north side of St. Louis has faced decades of disinvestment and systemic abandonment. It's made it so that the north side feels and looks like a whole different city from the rest of St. Louis. And then May 16th happened. Immediately, people power took over. Now, 11 months later, it still plays a major factor in holding the community up and keeping tabs on the recovery process.
And so we know that we're safe together. We are safe together and all of our stories matter. And for so long, we haven't been able to have our ancestors' story. So thank you for being here and being brave enough to tell your story, because it's not some small thing. We could not continue to let people write us in history. We are the authors of our history. You are the authors of the history.
In this episode of Meet Me, we'll hear a few of the stories that St. Louisans shared that night. Meet Me at the open mic. Thank you. I'm Luis Antonio Perez, and this is Meet Me, a project from St. Louis Public Radio about connecting across divides to find a way forward. In this episode, we'll hear stories from St. Louis residents who experienced the May 16th tornado, a disaster that 11 months later still impacts their lives and the region. Some residents are still living under tarps. Some are still fighting with their insurance companies. And a few are weeks away from moving back into rebuilt homes. But they're all still in recovery. We hand the microphone over to the community to share their stories in their own words. As people enter the St. Louis Public Radio community room at the Meet Me open mic to share stories and experiences around last year's deadly tornado, the space carried some tension from the previous night. Less than 24 hours before, St. Louis was under a tornado warning. The National Weather Service identified rotating thunderstorms at 9:40 p.m. Tornado sirens blared across the city for 3 minutes. It didn't become a tornado, but it felt like the echo of those sirens lingered in the room. But together, we pressed on, and several folks took the stage to share their stories. One of those stories was from Miss Juanita Blackshear. Miss Juanita was a middle school teacher for many years before recently retiring. She now lives in her family home in the Graterville neighborhood, where the tornado had some of its most devastating impact. She wasn't home when the tornado hit, but her drive back took her on a path through the center of the aftermath.
My name is Juanita Blackshear, and yes, I do have a story to tell. I'm the oldest of nine. Parents were married very young, but that's what you did back in the 50s. You married right out of high school. There are nine siblings, five boys and four girls, and I was fortunate enough to move back into our ancestral home about 4 years ago, before the tornado hit. I thought I would always want to write a story that started off, it was a dark and stormy night. But this time it wasn't a dark and stormy night. It was a dark and stormy afternoon on May the 16th. Luckily, I was not at home. I was at physical therapy. And the sirens did not sound, but our phones began to ping. And where I was located was about four blocks from Forest Park. And all of a sudden, it just got so dark outside. Trash bags, you know, the famous plastic bags that you get from the supermarket were circling the building. And we were like, oh my God. So we moved to the farthest part of the building, as far as we could go. And just as fast as it came, as fast as it went. And I told the young people, I said, well, I'm done. I'm going home. And I got in my little car and pulled out of the parking lot, came around the corner. People were still coming out of Schnucks. I'm right there at the corner of Lindell and Sarah, if you don't know where that location is. And I was even brave enough. I went over to my favorite Chinese restaurant and got me some Chinese carryout. Shrimp fried rice with bean sprouts and some egg foo young. With gravy on the side. Went home, still not knowing what happened. Still not knowing. And I'm driving and I'm seeing at first twigs in the streets, then limbs in the streets, then half trees in the street. And I get to the corner of Dr. Martin Luther King and Whittier. And if you don't know where that is, it's not far from the famous Homer G. Phillips Hospital, where all eight of us were born, one brother was born in City Hospital number one. But anyway, got to that corner and I looked up and I said, something is missing. The famous Harlem Tap Room was to the ground. And I said, oh my God, what has happened? Still not knowing that we had gotten hit by a tornado. And we were told by a young firefighter, first responder, to make a U-turn and go back in another direction. So I did, but still managed to get back onto Whittier. Got back onto Whittier, and then I started seeing more devastation. running right past Homer J. Phillips Hospital. And luckily, in our neighborhood, the neighborhood where we grew up, there is a firehouse. The firefighters, they were the ones down on the corner directing the traffic. And all of a sudden, it hit me. My house. Our house. And I tried not to speed, but I got to the corner of Whittier and Labadie. And I didn't want to look to my left because my house was about 8 houses down from that location. But I was brave enough and I made that left-hand turn, and limbs were everywhere. And the only thing I could think of, our house is gone. It's not there anymore. The places where we played, where we shared meals with not only friends and neighbors, but our family holidays and celebrations and graduations and weddings and baptisms and all that fun stuff. I just knew that place was gone. Pulled up, the house was still there. But the house sustained some wind damage. 5 weeks prior, I had just put on a brand new roof. Brand new, cash money. Paid the young man off, told him see you later, and then the tornado hit. FEMA, I filled out the information regarding FEMA, followed all the directions for FEMA. They sent out a representative. He finally came onto the roof. I contacted insurance, and they sent a what they called a forensic architect, who came and looked at the roof. And in the process, both of them indicated, you need a new roof. The building was still standing, but we were okay. So my neighbor next to the left of me, he and his wife just brought a new car 6 months prior. The car was demolished. A tree fell on his car, on their car. Car was gone. And as was indicated earlier, yes, North St. Louis showed up and showed out. I had so much water, so much food, pillows, blankets, anything and everything that you could think of. And my family were even more generous, making sure that I at least had a cell phone, because electricity was gone, all the power was gone. Yes, I could cook, but I didn't want to open up my refrigerator or freezer because I didn't want to lose what I did have. I'm still waiting from FEMA. I'm still waiting from St. Louis Recovers. I'm still waiting for them. I just went to a town hall this past weekend. 150 to 200 homes are going to be, a quote, taken care of. I don't even know if I'm even part of that count. They told me, go check on your application. So, yes, I was traumatized. But even more so last night when the sirens did sound, I was like, what do I do? I already prayed up. But should I put on my tennis shoes and put on a pair of sweatpants and run to the basement, as we should do? Or should I just lay in the bed like most St. Louisans do in the time of a tornado? Oh, it's just tornadoes going to blow over. I laid there and went to bed, went to sleep. So that's my story.
That's Juanita Blackshear from St. Louis's Greaterville neighborhood sharing how she was impacted by last year's May 16th tornado. We'll have more stories from this latest episode of STLPR's podcast Meet Me from our recent open mic event in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at jemastl.com.
Welcome back. I'm Elaine Cha. Let's return to the latest episode of STLPR's podcast, Meet Me. This month, it features stories from St. Louis residents about how they were impacted by last year's May 16th tornado. The stories were recorded at St. Louis Public Radio's recent open mic event. Here's host Luis Antonio Perez.
Our next storyteller is Mr. Kevin Blackshear. He's Miss Juanita's younger brother and lives in the Academy neighborhood of St. Louis. That's where the tornado winds began to reach their peak, only a couple of miles southwest from his sister's home. Mr. Kevin was home when the tornado hit.
Thank you. Good evening. Just to give you some context, my sister Juanita is the oldest. I'm the youngest. That has nothing to do with anything, but, you know. So, May 15th, my youngest daughter graduated high school. So we went from a mountaintop experience celebrating our daughter to the next day, May 16th, that Friday. So earlier that day, I was at home. No, I had gone to the doctor for an eye issue. I was at home, normal day, nothing, you know, standing out. And I'm sitting in the kitchen in front of a window. And I noticed that it gets a little bit dark. And I kind of hear the wind pick up a little bit. And I turn around and I look at the power lines. And coming from the pole to the house, our line is doing this. It looks like somebody's turning rope, you know, from back in the day when girls used to play rope. That's what it looked like. I said, that's interesting. So I look past that and I see debris fly past the window. And I say, I've never seen birds fly in a storm. And I was like, idiot, that's not a bird. That's debris. I look past that and I see a portion of the funnel. And I say, oh, expletive. I break for the basement. Get downstairs and dust is dropping. I hear commotion, but I don't know what it is. It lasts maybe a minute. That's okay. I get ready to go back upstairs. I hear it again. So we are roughly a mile north of Forest Park. So that's the direction it came from when it came to us. So I get ready to come back up the steps out of the basement and I hear it literally on the right side, which would be the west side of our house. So I back downstairs and I wait another minute. I come upstairs and I just kind of look around. I don't see anything. I go into the back room and the whole window, it's a double pane window, frame and all, gone. And I'm standing there. And I call my wife. I say, hey, it's gone. And she's like, what? She's speaking one language. I'm speaking another language because I can't process what I'm looking at. So I just hang up. I go upstairs. I make my way upstairs. And the more I walk upstairs, the more debris I see. We live in a three-story home. I get to the landing of the second and third floor. There's a window. That window's busted. I see branches, as my sister described, all in the house. I'm thinking, okay, that's kind of interesting. I get up to the third floor. I see branches and glass. I don't know where the branches came from because we don't have any trees near us. Now I realize that the storm at some point literally came into the house. I go into our daughter's back room. There's a big hole in the roof. We're almost a year out to the day. We're still battling our insurance company. we've secured an attorney. We're just trying to put it all back together. The blessing for us is we're still able to be in the home, which is a blessing. Unlike some of our neighbors, as you all know and have seen, they're not able to be in the home. I've been through some things in life. It takes a lot to shake and rattle me. This did. We were without power for 7 days. So no cooking, no bathing. Electronics was the least of my concern, but obviously no electronics. So again, that's my story. I'll put it like this. As a person of faith, I asked, where was God? God showed up. He didn't look anything like I thought he'd look. He wasn't white. He didn't have a white beard. He didn't float down from the sky. He literally drove up the street. He walked up the street. He looked like a female. He looked like a male. He looked old. He looked young. He looked middle-aged. And each separate individual that he represented him asked the exact same thing. Are you okay? Do you need anything? We're fine. Can we pass it on to our neighbors? That's literally what we did. So St. Louis, that's my story. Thank you for listening.
Our last story is from Sherlyn Contreras. They fell in love with St. Louis when they came here for school and stayed. Sherlyn had finally found their place and their person. For the first time, they felt settled. Then, the tornado hit.
Thank you so much for opening up the space. It's such like, so nice. I'll say that my story begins with, it begins with my mom, who is incredibly brave. And she came here from Mexico to build like a better life and to build a family and a home. And I carry that in my blood. And I came to St. Louis to do the same. I was the first one to graduate from middle school, the first one to graduate from high school, and the first one to graduate from college. And I did it with minimal support. Both of my parents don't speak English that well. So I got into a really fancy school in St. Louis, and I moved around a lot as a kid. And St. Louis was like, I love St. Louis. I love it. Like every day I wake up and I love it even more. So I came to St. Louis for school and also to build a life. And in my first year here, I got a home, like somewhere that I thought I would stay forever. And when we were growing up, it was most of my life, it was just me, my older sister, my mom. And it was hard raising two kids all by herself. So we moved around a lot. For a majority of my life, we only stayed in one place for a year. So it meant a lot. It meant a lot to have like a pretty condo. And it was one of the first times that I ever put family pictures up. But May 16 happened. I had a choice right before the rain started. Should I go home or should I go to work to go bother the love of my life? And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go bother the love of my life, which ended up saving me. And it was at her workplace that we saw the storm come in. And I think the thing about this is at certain points of my life, I'm like, okay, I suffered enough. The universe will be easy. So I didn't think it would hit us. But it did. The metro was down, so we couldn't take it home. And luckily, we came across a student that my wife taught. And the student helped us out and drove us midway. But the traffic was stopped. And in that moment, in all the scared and atrocity of it, I was grateful for one thing. I was able-bodied. I could run home. And the reason why I needed to run home was in my spirit of wanting to build a home. I finally let myself have a dog. I've always wanted a dog, but I've never had the means to have like a little baby. And the thing is, both of us wasn't home. And he was up there, and we live on the top floor of an apartment. So I had to run home and get him. I remember the street and the trees that used to create shade on my daily walks for him. They were just laid down. And again, thankfully, I was able-bodied. I could jump over them, run to him. I saw a neighbor who stopped me. I was, of course, crying. And she told me that they had to leave the apartment complex. And the last thing that they heard was my dog barking. So I ran even harder. Of course, my phone was at 2%, so I couldn't text people to go check on my dog, on my stuff, on my home. The door was opened, and I ran up. And again, I live on the top floor. And I opened my door, and my ceiling was just on the living room floor. I think I thought my dog, and the ceiling was like also on my dog's bed. And it was hard. It was hard to think that I wanted to build like a home and a life. And I was scared that I lost everything. But on a happy note, my dog was also smart and hid, and he came across the corner. I know. So he was fine. And it was the volunteers up in North City that gave us a tarp, that gave us food. And I think that's also like another moment of, I love St. Louis, and in that moment, I felt how much St. Louis loved me. So yeah. That's it. Sorry I cried. I low-key cry too easy.
Thanks to Sherlene, Miss Juanita, Mr. Kevin, and all of the storytellers who shared their experiences with us that night. Almost a year later, most of the residents impacted by the May 16th tornado are still in recovery. Grassroots groups have shifted their efforts from addressing immediate needs to long-term issues, ongoing cleanup, mental health services, navigating issues with insurance, and even replanting trees lost to the storm. The tornado continues to reveal major divides in St. Louis. At the center of this divide is money. Hundreds of millions of dollars in tornado recovery have yet to be spent at the state and local levels. A day after the open mic, St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer gave a State of the City address at City Hall. Demonstrators interrupted the start of the mayor's speech, delaying it by more than 15 minutes. 5 were arrested. They were upset about a confluence of things. Among them, what to do with almost $300 million the city received from a settlement after the departure of the Rams football team. Many want all that money to go toward tornado recovery on the north side, while the mayor says that any Rams spending package must include modernizing city infrastructure and growing downtown in addition to rebuilding North City. The scene that day at City Hall was chaotic, as officers were forcibly detaining demonstrators. Others were encouraging the mayor by standing and applauding. The post-tornado bureaucratic process continues to grind ahead, slowly. Insurance claims, government fund applications, recovery programs. And on the ground, people continue to press forward. From the day the tornado touched down, St. Louisans, community, showed up to help. And that spirit of service has endured. After May 16, people found ways to look past the divides and see the humans on the other side and ask, are you okay? How can I help?
This episode of Meet Me was written, hosted, produced, and mixed by Luis Antonio Perez, with story editing by Alex Hoyer and Brian Heffernan. Meet Me's engagement producer is Paola Rodriguez, with editorial support from Lara Hamden. Recording by Drew Yant and Jim Hewer. Brian Heffernan is the executive producer. Theme music by Cutta and Friends. Additional music by Halizna. Special thanks to Cami Thomas, Alyssa Potter, Bertini Gray Chiquillo, Leslie Davis, Maya Williams, Hiba Ahmed, and Andrea Henderson, and the Black Healers Collective of In Power Institute and Freedom Community Center for fostering healing and resilience in our communities. Grant support comes from the James S. McDonnell Foundation.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
Hi, I'm Laura Hamden, and my colleague Jessica Rogan and I are your daily hosts of the Gateway Newsletter. We meet with the editors in the STLPR newsroom every weekday to bring you the top local stories of the day in a quick and easy 6-minute read by 6 a.m. In an age of overwhelm, it's a refreshing, thoughtful take on the news day, if we do say so ourselves. Fine-tune your daily news habit with the Gateway Newsletter. Subscribe at stlpr.org/gateway.